Good afternoon. This story, I've been pondering a lot lately and really asking the Lord to say what he was wanting to say. There's probably a bunch of stuff in the scripture that I won't say that others would, but what is he speaking to us in light of this journey that we're on, teaching us his ways, teaching us the way that is the life Jesus lives? And it's interesting to me that we talked about this on Monday, but especially just in terms of brokenness, but this man's body was healed. And yet what Jesus was really going after was something beyond just that. Because at the end of the story, when the part that Bracken read, let me just show you a few things that's interesting to me. It's fascinating about God. A lot of this story is about righteousness. If you do a real deep study on the word righteous, if the commentators or the Greek people are being honest, it just means to be right. But not to be right in the, like you want an argument, but to be right in the same sense of being sound. I think we've used the analogy before. It's kind of like if I order something for the kids over Amazon, some toy that has moving parts, and I get it and all the moving parts work the way they're supposed to work, it's righteous because it's right, you know? And then if it's right, it'll act right. But you have Jesus being concerned and walking in and wanting this person to walk in righteousness, but the Jews were only concerned about him acting righteous and doing the right thing. And there's a difference. Yet in the body of Christ, we get really confused and we hurt a lot of people because we think righteousness is always first and foremost doing the right thing, even if their heart's not been healed and made whole. And what Jesus wants us to know is that it's about being righteous. And if you are righteous, if you are right on the inside, then you'll act righteous, but it'll flow from the inside out. That's being transformed. One of the other things about this story that's interesting is, like, I asked the question and read a lot about this. I didn't want to really talk about the healing part of it until I just read more people. Like, the fact is that Jesus is in, when he comes to this place at the Sheep's Gate, and these two pools are like the size of maybe two football fields almost. So huge. And there are five porches around it, and it says there's a multitude of people who are sick, who are blind, who are lame, and who are withered. And yet, Jesus heals this one man. So one of the questions that I've asked is, like, well, did every person Jesus ever healed? Yes. But did Jesus pray for every person he could have prayed for? It seems like no. Now, again, the verse 3 says, and in these lay a multitude of people. So this is a huge area. So there's a bunch of people there. And it's on a Sabbath, but it's a bunch of people there who want healing. Now, again, the reason they're there is that occasionally an angel would show up into the water, stir the water, and whoever got into the water first would be healed. And they were there waiting for the water to stir, hoping it would stir so they might be healed. And but when people like it, when they asked Jesus, when they asked the man after his healing, like who healed him, they didn't ask him that question. The question they asked him is fascinating. I'll show you in just a minute. But when they asked Jesus, the man to let him know who was responsible for this, he didn't know who it was. Because Jesus had never revealed himself, and it says, and Jesus, verse 13, for he who healed him, did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. And so one person who I really have a lot of respect for said, that's the reason Jesus didn't heal everybody, is because of the multitude. And the multitude is like sort of, when Jesus, God got healed, sort of a commotion created, everybody pressed in on him, and he slipped out because it was sort of an out-of-control circumstance. But it doesn't really say it that way. And now maybe that's what happened, but you'd think the Lord was smart enough to know that this would be a controversy, and he should have made it really clear, right? Here's the deal, I don't know. The fear people have is this, is that they ever say, like, well, there were people there that Jesus didn't heal, then we will come up with excuses. We'll lame duck everything. The moment we don't see something happen in terms of healing, we'll just go, well, you know, God doesn't heal everybody. And therefore, we won't be as passionate and committed to praying for people to be healed. I don't think that's true. Probably the most important person or most anointed person in the 20th century was John Wimber. But he didn't believe. He kind of believed that, well, sometimes it doesn't happen. But the fact that he ever saw anybody get healed drove him to want to pray for people to get healed. You with me? And the fact is that we're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're being controlled by the life of Jesus, and Jesus never loses his passion to see people get healed. So I don't know. Here's the bottom line, I don't know. And maybe that's the answer, is that it's okay that sometimes you don't know, but I don't know that either. I just know everybody prayed for got healed. So I'm expecting everybody I pray for that he leads me to pray for should get healed. That's the way he is. So he comes into this group, multitude of people, and it says, and there's a certain man who was there. He'd been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and again, we mentioned this the other day, Jesus knew that he'd been there a long time in that condition. And he said to him, do you wish to get well? And then the man gave him the answer, well, I'm here. Every time the water gets stirred, I try to get to the water. Somebody always beats me to it because nobody's there to help me. As the story goes on, when Jesus tells the man, pick up your pallet and walk, and he does, immediately, because it was on the Sabbath, the Jews therefore were saying to him repeatedly, who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not permissible for you to carry your pallet. But he answered them and said, he who made me well was the one who said to me, take up your pallet and walk. And they asked him, well, who is the man who said to you, take up your pallet and walk? And he who was healed did not know who it was. Forgive, for Jesus slipped away. And then afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, I mention this, that again, that it says in verse 6, Jesus said, do you wish to be made sound, to be made well? But the word is sound. And literally, we could say it's the word righteous. And then in verse 9, immediately the man became sound, well. In verse 10, therefore the Jews were saying to him who was cured. Verse 11, but he answered and said, he who made me well. In verse 13, but he who was healed. In verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. So it's like this big emphasis when God's referencing this story about the fact the guy got healed. The guy was made well. But all the Jews talked about was the fact that he had picked up his pallet and was carrying it on the Sabbath. Now, as I said again Monday, they weren't complaining that he got well, but that was not their priority. Their priority was that he wasn't doing it right. There's a right way to do things on the Sabbath, and he wasn't doing it the right way. So they graded him as unrighteous. When Jesus had just made him sound, and it wasn't just about soundness in his body, because we talked about it from the person's perspective, but from the love of God's perspective. God came into that situation clothed in our humanity. He saw a man, and that man was the most important person Jesus had ever seen. It was a multitude, but he was zeroed in on that person. And he asked him a question, do you want to be sound? And we know why he asked that question, because for him, his condition physically was the result of something wrong with his soul. Because Jesus told him, he went and looked for him again. I love the story. Jesus came in the multitude of people. He looks for the man, sees the man. Jesus goes back in the temple and he finds the man. God's always looking after us. He's always chasing us. You know, there was a book written years ago called God Chasers. I don't hate the book. I just hate the title. Like The Imitation of Christ. We don't want to be imitators of Christ. You know, we want to be participants in Christ, not imitators of Christ. But Jesus looks for him and says, do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. Now, when the Pharisees were talking to him, they asked him, who is the man who told you to take up your pallet and walk? Because the guy said, well, he said, why are you carrying the pallet on the Sabbath? And he said, well, the man told me to take up my pallet and walk. The man who made me well took my pallet and walked. And they go, well, who told you to take up your pallet? They didn't say, well, who was it that made you well? This is stunning to me. Again, they weren't mad that he was well, but that wasn't their priority. Doing it right was what was more important to them than the man being made whole. And when Jesus went and told him, you know, don't sin anymore, whatever the sin was, and I don't know why, I think it was probably bitterness about something from years ago, but he said, lest something worse befall you. Because Jesus was concerned about the man's wholeness. He healed his body, but more importantly, he wanted to heal his soul. That's righteousness. Jesus was concerned about the man being right on the inside. The religious folks were all concerned about the man doing it right on the outside. And I see that in the church all the time, in the body of Christ, that we get mad at people because they don't do it right. And we want to confront them if they don't do it right. Never even wondering why they're not doing it right. Never even questioning what's going on inside their soul. Not even concerned about, do you want to be well? That's the difference between love and religion. They were offended with the man. They didn't know about anything about his life, really. They were offended with the man. Jesus was not offended with him. And Jesus knew about him. Jesus knew. Jesus said he knew that he had been there a long time. And obviously he knew about his sin because he told him, don't sin anymore unless something worse happens to you. And that wasn't a rebuke. That was like, now you're well. Let's stay well. Let's not do that anymore so that nothing worse happens to you. Because what I'm concerned about is not something worse happening to you. What I'm concerned about is what happened to you. That's Christianity. Jesus was not offended, though he knew his sin. Jesus was not offended, though he knew how long he'd been in this condition because of his sin. All Jesus was concerned about and sought him out twice was that he walk in wholeness. Because that's what righteousness is. Because if you walk in righteousness, if your heart is righteous, righteous behavior happens. It's not pretense. Do you see the difference? How often have we done it, been offended with people because they don't act right? Without even wanting to, not even knowing what is the issue going on under the surface. Jesus was mad at him. Jesus hates sin. He doesn't get disappointed in you. He gets disappointed for you. He's offended with sin, not you, because he hates sin, because he hates what sin does to us. And he came to set us free, not to judge. That's what he said. He said, I didn't come to judge the world, but that the world might have what? Life. That's who our God is. And I'm going to tell you something. We would see a lot more fruit if we participated in the life of Christ and joined him in treating people like this. Instead of demanding them do what's right and judging them when they don't. Instead of wanting to be concerned about what's going on the inside so they can be healed and not be offended with what the sin is, but be healed of it so they can walk in wholeness. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. Once the man was healed and whole on the inside, I can assure you, the next Sabbath day, he didn't pick up a pallet and walk. Why? Because he wouldn't do that to them out of love. That's righteousness. He just didn't know any better in that moment. You with me? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a pretty cool story. There's more to come in the weeks ahead.